Hiya. Thanks for coming back.
It's a laugh, this YouTube game, isn't it?
Do you know what? Yeah, right. I pay so much money for internet.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, it's ridiculous.
Dedicated lines, folks.
Yeah.
And it just died. Hey, oh, we got volume on that. I need to get rid of that. So, yeah, that's what happened. The internet just was like, I don't feel like working today. Went on strike.
But welcome to Howson's Brew.
Welcome to Howson's Brew. If it's the first time you've joined us, you're like, what are you guys on about? If it's the second time, well, yeah, fair play.
Yeah. Yeah, tea's gone cold.
Tea's like just about warm in there now. Thank you for coming back, everybody. Give us a like if you've got shit internet where you live.
Yeah. Everywhere still has got shit internet, hasn't it? Like, pretty much. My internet at home's still not great. You could try and bring your dad on FaceTime. He's like, oh, it's not working again. I've been on the phone.
No, he's just like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah, well, there is that as well, yeah. Good point.
Oh, so this is now on wireless. So I have two internets, which are both connected to the same machine. So if one of them dies, the other one's meant to automatically just be there. Mm-hmm. So in the event of anything going tits up, there is a failsafe on this. And that didn't work.
Didn't work at all, did it?
No.
Because I was reading my David De Gea Player of the Year list, and I just got a thing saying, you've been disconnected from Wi-Fi, would you like to use the 4G? And I was like, that's a bit weird, carry on. And then 2 minutes later, everyone's like, it's all broke, we've got to stop, do it again.
Yeah, anyway.
Anyway.
So thank you guys that have come back. Give us a like, because it'll help us get found. We've lost 20 minutes here. I'm pretty wounded about that. And we was in right good mid-flow, weren't we?
Yeah, we were having a chat, weren't we?
About De Gea, about Romero, about whether or not it's time to allow Romero, who's been an unbelievable servant, doesn't say shit, even against the advice of his national team manager, like, you need to leave him, go and find a club that's going to play you. He's like, nah. Sit here on the bench.
Didn't he used to be like, where were we going for? Was it PSG? Where was it we were going from?
Sampdoria, I think.
Was it? Did he play for PSG? Why have I got PSG in my head?
No, let's just say he did, though.
Just let's say PSG. was he the first choice at the club that he came from?
Yeah.
Wow. He's a real true gent, isn't he?
I heard somewhere that he's like a United fan.
Probably.
He's a United fan, and he just wanted to come here, and that was that. And even Argentina, like, you're our World Cup goalkeeper. He's like, so?
He's like, yeah, but Argentina pick weird players all the time. You'll keep picking them. There's no one else.
And he did. He's got like 120 caps for his country. Yeah, he's probably not got that many matches.
No, he's probably played more times for Argentina than he has for United.
Oh, he's definitely played more times for Argentina than he has for United.
Maybe just as a goalkeeper generally, I mean.
Insane. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, thank you, Zed, for you guys coming back. Mental.
Yep.
So I don't really want to have to go over all that again. It feels inauthentic.
Let's have a go over it a little bit again.
Right,
then.
So I was sort of saying, like, if anyone has, and I agreed with your point on this, if anyone has earned the right to be ridden through the poor patch, it is David De Gea.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're getting to the point where he may be targeted. And we also had a really good point about something with throw-ins, which is now lost in the ether.
That's gone forever.
It's gone forever.
Incredible throwing tactics that we're going to be showing off. That is my point. My point is, first ever player to win three in a row, Matt Busby, Player of the Year awards. First player, the only player to have won it four times. He's a club legend by, you know, any... It's hard to say that sometimes because he looked like he was going to leave for such a long time. But if you sort of quantify it in terms of what he's won, how good he's been, he's arguably United's best ever goalie, maybe second best, maybe third. But like, he's really up in
the conversation
of United's best ever goalkeeper.
I think he's below Schmeichel and Van der Sar.
Yeah, I would definitely say below Schmeichel. I think in terms of quality, got shot stopping, he's probably the best we've ever. You know, he's right up there, and he's just. He is going through a bad patch. And the strange thing to me, like you said, is that he seemed to have come out of it. The start of the season, he looked good again.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And then he sort of wobbled and he's gone again. I don't quite get it.
This is something we mentioned, wasn't it? A goalkeeper has to be wrong once, and it's a bad game. A striker can be right once, and it's a good game.
Yeah, it's a mistake.
And that's how you live and die as a striker and a goalkeeper.
Yeah. I just think that we haven't seen him dropped, really, since he came in. We saw him... Since he became that, you know, first choice proper number one goalkeeper the last 5 or 6 years, we've never seen him drop. We've never really seen him have bad games. There was a point where he made like 2 mistakes in 3 seasons, leading up to when just before Mourinho left. He just didn't. He'd like drop that one through his hands against like MK Dons or whatever it was, or it was in some game that we won anyway. And other than that, he really hadn't made one for years. I worry that he won't respond well to being dropped. And it's just my thought that...
Yeah, there's a young player vibe about being dropped. You go, right, Whereas an old player being dropped, you go...
You're leaving. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't usually drop your best players. Even when, like I said, a young player, when you first come in, you can get dropped, you can kind of, you know, I need to prove my place. Once you prove your place, if you get dropped then, it has kind of like Rooney for England type feel to it, where you're like, he's probably not going to play again, is he? But we can't... I don't know. I just don't think it's the best way to deal with it. You obviously disagree.
Not nastily. Just thinking like... Something's not right. Mm. We've got a new goalkeeping coach coming in. Emilio's bounced. And how long did he? Do you know when we was on pre-season tour? Emilio was just walking around on the phone, I know, all night.
He's probably on the phone to a sunbed because he's that tanned. Even when he's not on the sunbed, he's like, let me just hear the bulbs. Let me just hear the infrared. Ultraviolet.
Michel, baby, what are you wearing?
Yeah, exactly. Just a load of tubes. But yeah, he's the most pretty jacked and tanned. But there seems to be movement in that goalkeeping area, which makes me think, again, it all depends what's actually the cause of this. Is it literally just he's just making mistakes and he's lost a bit of confidence? Is there a bit of a head-turning thing going on? Is there a, well, we promise you if you sign this deal, we'll let you go in 2 years? Like, you don't know what agreements and what deals have been made with De Gea because he's obviously wanted to leave. Yeah. He left. He signed for Real Madrid. Like, that all happened and it did happen and no one denies it. So he doesn't 100% want to be here. So is this like a head-turn type thing? Or because you think the contract fixes it, but it doesn't really. Players with contracts leave all the time. It just means we'll get a bit more from him when he does go. So
yeah, I don't know if it is him just being... Like, I don't think anyone walks out on the pitch and goes, watch, it's going to be a bit shit today.
No, of course.
I'm sure that doesn't happen. No. I'm sure no one's sitting there going, I'm going to be just a smidge shit.
Just a smidge shit
where people go... Today. Yeah. It feels like there's a flaw in his game that... this is what we said earlier that we lost. Is my worry is that that flaw gets opened up now because it is a massive copycat league football.
Yeah.
And once someone sees one person do something, you know, Cantona and Janino were sort of the precursor for people playing in between the lines mm-hmm. from the old 4-4-2 days. Like, you can do that.
Yeah.
You know, and then when people started playing 4-3-3 instead of and three at the back instead of the old 4-4-2, people was like, can we do that?
Are we allowed to have wing backs as well?
So, like, one person start doing something, everyone else thinks that's the magic pill, that's the new thing to do. And that's the same works with, you know, with every single innovation in the game and weaknesses in the game. Mm. You know, people know how to try and play against Manchester City. And I actually don't think Ole gets enough credit for that. Actually, that he's been so effective. I say this on the eve of a game against Manchester City where we could get tonked, and I'm aware of that.
That's going to be funny.
Yeah, this is going to be funny when this gets clipped up.
We know how to beat Man City. We do it every time. Keep talking. I'll take the heat. Oh. Luckily, no one knows who I am, so I can't really take any heat. It's great.
So I think that, you know, when people see the flaw, the weakness, the way you can target him at set pieces, because like you said, we're so bad going forward at set pieces, we're so bad defending set pieces.
Yeah,
like I think people are gonna
go after it.
Yeah, I think people are gonna target him for that. And I think the best way to prevent that is to give someone who's never moaned, never complained. Mm. Always turned up. How many times have you said, do you know what? Romero would be good if he just got a run of games.
Yeah. I've got a couple of worries I have is one, not even a worry, just a sort of rebuttal, I suppose. He has been known to be bad from corners his whole career. That's not new. So, and if you actually look at the goals that we've conceded, the mistakes he's made, one was directly from across, was the Calvert-Lewin one, which was arguably a foul, but even if it wasn't, he wasn't strong enough for that, I get that. The other corner, which was in the last game, the ball hit him and it was a save that was the problem that hit Lindelof back.
Should have held it, potentially.
Should have held it, yeah, but it wasn't him coming out for a corner. The other one was a ball just
maybe
bouncing
he should have
into
for the first
maybe ball. He could have come out for the corner, I suppose. His lack of sort of willingness to come out for the corner was the problem there. But the other one was it Watford? Where he just caught the ball and it went in off the post. Like, how do you target that? Just put it up in the air and they'll drop it in.
That's, yeah, you would think that no matter what's happening.
I would have stopped that, you know, 99 times out of 100. The ball was just here and he just didn't use his hands to stop it going in. It was a strange thing. Oh.
It just epitomises how we've been this season, isn't it? Where you just go, that's just shit.
Yeah, it was just shit. Yeah, exactly. So that's my thing is, that's why I don't necessarily know that dropping him will help, because it's not one thing. It clearly is just a confidence thing. And I suppose the coaches and the manager know more than us about how his confidence works, and he's been there a long time.
So yeah, we got Craig Mawson's just joined.
Yeah.
It's Craig Mawson, isn't it?
I think so. I believe it is.
When I said it, I believed it. Don't but then I immediately
will you talk about him?
I immediately didn't believe it.
I think it's Craig Mawson. I'm sure people will let us know in the comments if it's not.
Who is it? I'll
yeah, it is him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he looks somewhere between like Lee Bowyer and David Beckham. Do you know what I mean? Kind of.
No.
Like a rough version of Beckham and a good version of Bowyer.
No.
Come on.
Anyway, no.
It's not far off both.
Yeah, Roots Raff in the comments there says, my question, how has De Gea got even this far without even slightly improving his boss in the box department? It probably needs, like, how did Schmeichel become a boss in a box? Like, it almost needs Schmeichel to be like, you know, that whole thing's yours.
Yeah, and just scream at it.
Yeah.
And stuff will happen. But how has he come this far? I don't know if that's a negative thing or a positive thing, because it's obvious how he's come this far is by being arguably the best shot stopper ever. Like, as good as I've ever seen, maybe probably the best I've ever seen.
Reactionary saves just like make no sense.
Yeah, exactly.
He's almost like he works on another physics level that we've not seen yet. But there are weaknesses to his game, distribution. And his distribution's gone backwards because his distribution was good.
Yeah,
so I think that's definitely a confidence thing.
Mm.
The distribution has definitely gone backwards. But the overall play of him at the moment, I think. And the constant, you know, you can say the constant amount of shots that he's facing, but he's not facing as many shots as some in the league.
No, not like he used to anyway.
No.
It's less than he was facing. And also, the best he's ever been is when we were shit. So that's not even the excuse, is it? He was incredible for 13, 14, 14, 15, 15 16, 17, 18, 19. Like that's, it's not like that's been a problem. He's only good when he's got two or three things to do. He's usually better when he has more shots to save, so I don't really know what the excuse is.
No, it could be a number of things. It could be all sorts of things, but I don't know what the answer is. Floating Man says he's disillusioned with United. Well, I think fucking most of us are, brother.
Mm.
But, I mean, what can you say on that? Well, if he is, well, why are we still playing him?
Yeah.
You know, if that's not an excuse to maybe pull in Sergio Romero and let him feature for a little bit, I don't know what it is.
My concern with playing Romero is that he's been so good and he's so perfect as a number two. There are different pressures and different expectations as a number one that I don't want him to be exposed for maybe not being quite as good as he's looked and then collapsing like we've seen De Gea do. Because I think we have seen him in a run of games. We saw him when De Gea was injured. Was it the start of last season or the season before?
Wasn't injured.
What was it?
He was leaving.
And he looked good, Romero, but he does. He's got a kind of a almost. His coordination, almost the way his body looks, a bit ungainly and a bit unorthodox sometimes. And I think he has a look of was that a bit lucky there? I don't know. He just has a feel to me like he's.
Do you know what? Give me a lucky player over a good one any day of the week.
Yeah, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but I don't think he's as good as De Gea is when they're both at their best. And I worry that accepting playing someone who is probably a bit worse might.
Jake's got a spanner to throw in the works.
Go on.
Dean Henderson.
Yeah, decent spanner, isn't it? A very clean sheeted spanner. He's obviously good. Again, though, there's a difference. Playing for Sheffield United, a team that was expected to be 20th in the league at the moment, and are, I think, 9th or, you know, right around.
How much of Sheffield United's good form, though, is down to Henderson? I think in the last 3 years or something, he's won 2 player of the years.
Yeah, he's been brilliant. He is really good. I just think there's another level that you have to be on to be United's best. Like, look at Ben Foster, one of the better goalkeepers in the league since he left United. But you wouldn't have taken him at United over De Gea at any point, would you?
Maddow, you've got like 3 ex-United players. Is it 3 ex-United keepers? Yeah, you've got Heaton, you've got Foster,
yeah,
and you've got Henderson out there.
Yeah,
that's a mad array of goalkeepers. So that come from
England, United, 3 of England's best 4 goalkeepers are either from or at
ex-United
United
Academy.
Yeah, I think Henderson would be a decent shout. Again, would you just go Romero, you stay as number 2, De Gea leaves, Henderson comes in as number 1, or would you give Romero a chance and bring Henderson in as a 2? How would you do that?
I think Henderson's probably at the stage of his career where he feels like he's a number one.
Yeah.
And if he can get that at United, I am sure he would get that at United.
Mm.
If he can't get out at United, I think he'd be like, just fucking sell me tonight.
Yeah, because that's the other thing. He's a ticking time bomb, isn't he? He's the clock is running out on how long we can keep loaning him out somewhere without selling him or playing him. And we've obviously got this season, you could maybe one more season, but I can't see him going on loan for another 2 years. And De Gea's got 4 years left.
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah, on his contract at least.
The I don't imagine Romero would be double happy, though, if you sat around and went, right, okay, so we're selling Dave, and he goes, sensational. And you go, exactly. But we're bringing Henderson back, he's getting the number one jersey, and he'd be like, fuck you.
Oh no. Yeah.
Can't imagine that goes down well. He's like, I waited 3 fucking years.
Yeah, but then again, maybe it's just like he is just a second choice goalkeeper, and that's what he wants. Maybe he doesn't want the.
It's the best worst job in the world, isn't it?
It's the best worst job in the world.
The best worst job in the world.
Yeah, perfect job. Get what do you think he's on? 80-100 grand a week?
No,
less. 50?
50-60.
Not bad though, is it? It's not 100.
Rent's all right. No, are you all right for the rent this week? I'll be all right.
Yeah, I'll be right. How much is it? 350 a month. There you go. It's a decent job, and so not everyone's cut out to be the first choice goalkeeper at the biggest club in the world. And it's almost the worst job to have because we're crap enough to concede loads of goals, and we are by far the biggest draw, certainly in England, probably in the world. Like, you get all the pressure of being the best team, and you're at a team that's going to finish fourth at best.
Why is the one position you can't rotate in?
Yeah.
The only position. We're fucking stacked in.
Yeah, I know.
Because even if you had to play Lee Grant, you'd be like, well...
He's not great, but he'd get a game for Tottenham over Gazzaniga. So, yeah, it's not... As they always say, it's a good problem to have, but it's not always a good problem
Duo
to
says
have.
Suddenly Romero's like some mafia gangster then. I've always envisaged him like that. Mm. I don't know why. I've got no evidence that he's involved in any sort of gangland activity, but I just get a vibe off him.
Whenever you have a meeting with him, he's always eating a steak.
Always eating a steak. He always wears a vest under a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter the weather.
Yeah.
And he's always got a cat.
Yeah. And they're always like, oh, even no matter where the meeting is,
he's AK-47.
Got the steak. McDonald's, he's got the steak. Oh, we'll just meet at the cafe at Sainsbury's. He's got a steak there. Just a giant filly
steak. And a cat and an AK-47.
Yeah. Got one of them gold ones that you find in, like, El Chapo's flat.
Yeah. My old squadron had a gold Colt 45.
Did you ever get to shoot it?
No. It never got to be shot. It was just in the armory and everyone. Every time you went in, someone was like, do you know we've got a gold Colt 45? Yeah. Been here 4 years, because of the year. Every fucking week.
It's not like solid gold, is it? Because that would just explode when you shot it or melt.
I don't know. I imagine it's gold plated.
Gold plated, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it looked good.
Like a really expensive, like.
We stole that shit from Argentina, funnily enough. During the Falklands.
Allegedly? Or I'm just saying it?
Well, no, fuck it, because I've seen it, so.
Right. Nice one. Cheers.
We stole a helicopter too.
War crimes.
Well, I say we, I mean, it was a year before I was born, so it definitely wasn't me.
They.
My predecessors in my squadron did.
So, did they?
There you go.
What kind of helicopter?
A Huey.
Nice. Huey Lewis in the news.
And they painted it and put our squadron logo on the side of it. It's ours now. It's got our logo on it.
So if that gets found, there's no contention as to who stole it.
Did someone leave the keys in it? Do they have keys?
Do they have keys?
They do have keys.
Yeah. Got it. So it's got to have something, hasn't it? Or it's one of the, like, the co-driver and the driver both have to, like, put the ring together, like, on the thing.
Beg pardon?
Just smash the rings together.
All right, that's not fair enough.
And then it activates. Like something from Avengers or something. That's what I imagine it is.
Yeah,
it's weird that all, like, army cars are still just like cars, aren't they? But with a bit of, like, sand painted on the side and that.
Green paint.
Yeah.
I mean, Land Rover's like 50, 60 grand a piece. And there's nothing in them. And you're just like, it's not on the leather interior, so what the fuck have you spent that on?
But then again, you also think, in my head, I think an army Land Rover should be 10 million each, because there should be so much, like, stuff like guns coming out the sides, like James Bond stuff.
Oh, no.
No, it's just a normal Land Rover.
It's made of plastic on the outside, because that's easy to replace.
Scary, that, innit?
You do have the armoured stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, mostly. If they actually do send the right ones.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll happen again. Throw some questions in the comments if you've got anything and you don't want to hear us talk about the Falklands. Yeah.
What are you eating tonight? Any plans for dinner?
No, I got no plans for dinner tonight.
Do you cook a lot? Not to accuse you of not cooking, but I've never really heard you talk about cooking much.
Not as much as I did.
Yeah, but you used to have to cook a lot in the army. Did you do that? Do you have like taking turns? Is this prison? I'm imagining it.
I think that's gangster prison.
Because
they're always like mafia when they go to prison. They're always sitting there peeling potatoes and stuff, aren't they? Like, why have you got a potato peeler in prison? How the fucking have you done that?
Yeah.
Anyway.
That.
So yeah. So because it's just like it's just like being in a halls of residence, like
so there's like a cook.
No.
What?
You have a canteen.
Yeah.
But, like, the lads will cook for themselves, just like all halls of residence do.
Oh.
So you just, like, so there's not, like, a
big, like, dining room?
The canteen, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. So you used to cook there, then?
Yeah, but I'd be having, like, beans on toast.
Mm. What kind of food is it like there? Because, again, this is how out of touch I am with the army. I'm imagining I'm a celebrity.
No. Right. It's,
do you have, like, the metal cans, though?
On exercise, yeah.
Okay, this is right. Cool.
No, for 99% of your time in there, though.
Ceramic plates?
It's Sodexo.
What's that?
You've never heard of Sodexo?
Is that a man or is that a...
No, Sodexo's a straight, regular canteen people. Oh. They probably do the local school tier.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, yeah, it's just crap. No, we're not doing a Studio 68, come down with me.
Although that would be funny. Cam wouldn't win. He'd just be trying to put the biggest thing he can in.
Any truth in the link to Winks? I'm covering that tomorrow morning on Stretford Paddock. So if you're not subscribed, hit the subscribe button and the notification bell. Ring that bell.
Oh, we love the notification
ding, ding,
bell.
Ding, ding, ding. So yeah. And I'll be talking about that in the morning.
There's always... I'm worried with transfers, you know.
I've got a gut feeling we'll sign someone.
Oh, that's so I love hearing you say that. I know it is only a gut feeling, but I just like any optimism possible.
Like, what? Who? Yes.
What's it mean? What's it mean? He must know. But yeah, you're admitting it's just a gut feeling, but I'll take that. Because it's been pretty down, hasn't it?
Listen, if I get word, no, I'll certainly tell you lot.
Yeah.
I've got the word, but at the minute, I haven't got a word. I haven't got a nod. I haven't got a wink. No one's tapped the nose. Like, nothing. No. Absolutely nothing.
Pun not intended on wink there.
No.
Winks intended.
It was purely unintentional. No, I haven't heard anything on incomings since... did we have any in the summer that were close? I don't think so. I'm pretty sure Maguire was the only one, wasn't it?
Second.
That was before, wasn't it? It was March.
Mm.
So, yeah. Since him.
Well, we had a hunch about Dybala for a while, didn't we? That turned out to maybe be true.
No, it might have been one of the people that was on this fucking wall behind us told us that there was something going on. There was a wow. So you've been me asking about whether there's a wow signing. So someone says there's going to be a wow signing. You repeat back. So a wow signing.
A wow signing.
Wow.
Oh.
Try again. Wow.
Right. Okay. Right. That's something to look forward to. That's what the conversation went like.
Yeah, and that didn't happen. So.
No, there wasn't. Was there? It could have been. Do you think it was Dybala than that?
I think so.
Because it seemed as though we were interested in Dybala, didn't it?
My guess at the time was Griezmann or Dybala, going off who this guy even knew or had played with.
That was fun, that.
It's not after fucking...
I do love transfers. But the January one always seems like a sort of... like the rubbish little one, doesn't it? I mean, it is the rubbish little one. But it just always feels a bit...
I also don't buy the line that seems to get put out there that it's harder to do business in January. Why? If I phone you up in October, if I ring you up on the 27th of January and say, can you sell me your best player? You'd be like, no, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, Sean, you're gonna like, let's say you're Aston Villa.
Okay.
And I'm Manchester United.
Okay.
Today's the 27th of January.
Oh, what a day.
In fact, no, I'm Aston Villa, you're Manchester United. You try and phone me up and sign Grealish.
Hello, is that Aston Villa? Hello?
All right, mates.
Oh,
Aston Villa here.
Okay. Sorry, who am I speaking to?
Dave.
Oh, hello, Dave. Sorry, I was expecting someone else, but... Hi, Dave. It's Manchester United here. We're interested in signing one of your players, Jackie Grealish.
Jack Grealish?
Yes.
Jackie Grealish?
Yep.
How much are you going to pay?
Well, we were thinking somewhere... We like the idea of around 40 million. We think that's...
40 million for Jackie Grealish? The Brummie Beckham? £40 million?
Yep.
Fuck off.
Okay, well, before you go, though, because it's... We've got, you know, what would you like to come back to us with some sort of offer? Because, obviously...
Look, mates, if you want to sign Jackie fucking Grealish in January, you need to fund our whole recruitment process over the summer, mate.
Can I just say you sound a little bit like a parody of Ringo Starr, slightly?
Prove it.
No. Yeah, we'd like to sign... Okay.
250 million quid, mate! Get us back in the Premier League next year.
How about 40 million in Jesse Lingard?
No.
That's interesting. How about 60 million then?
I've got to go, mate. Peaky Blinders.
70 million, 80 million, 90 million, 100 million.
And that's our negotiation with United goes.
Yeah, that last what was that? Oh, shit, we thought he'd put the phone down. 100 million, deal.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, it's going to cost you a lot more, isn't it? But I think the problem is it's just the chance to replace it. Everyone's got it in their head that it's harder to sign players in January.
No, what is it?
People don't want to disrupt the season, though, do they?
But they don't want to disrupt pre-season. No. Look how, like, people go, the season ends, and people think there's, like, Narnia. There's just fucking days and days and days off.
Yeah,
but there's
not. They
have,
like, 2 weeks off.
They have 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
And then they start pre-season.
Yeah.
That's it. So, like, in the middle of pre-season, like, from the people that I know that are at other clubs than United and that they do their planning and stuff, I know a couple of fitness coaches and stuff like that, how they then start the planning process with different players. They've got their recruitment strategy in place. Right, we're going to sign a blah and a blah and a blah. Mm. Right. And then someone comes in and goes, we'll take your fucking best centre half. That's not in their plans.
No.
So they have to go, oh, fucking hell, now we definitely need a centre half. So that changes their whole prospect. But if you ring someone up in October and you go, look, we're going to go and try and take Jack Grealish off you. Right. How much? It's going to be a lot of money. Right, okay. So with that meaningful amount of money, we can probably go and bring someone in, possibly from the Championship or someone else in the Premier League, and maybe strengthen another area which might give us that chance of staying up. Let's get back to you. Let's see if we can find a couple of replacements that we can line up, Joe, and start that chain sort of process.
Yeah.
You do it early enough. You give them enough warning. And people are going to play ball with you. When you ring up on fucking midnight, the night before it's all about to go down, and you just get told to fucking
like
ram it in your ass.
You're handing your stuff in at school, and it, like, an essay's due the next day, and you're like, oh, sir, can I have some help? It's like, why didn't you ask for help 3 weeks ago when I actually had time to sort this out? I think, though, doesn't that come across as kind of giving the impression that Villa are there to sign, to sell players to us, when really they're a team.
No, they're not.
There to,
they're competing with us.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But people will sell.
Yeah.
Because there is a market.
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah,
people will sell. If you give them enough notice and you go into them with enough time and you say,
and the right offer.
Yeah, look, we'd like to sign this player. What's it going to take? Okay. Is that even something we can do in January?
But then the problem is, if, let's say it's someone that most United fans are into, most keen on Madison. Yeah. They say, okay, we don't want to talk before the summer. Okay, but we need him now. All right, okay. We don't want to talk before summer. Right, okay. 60 million. No. We need. If you want to talk now, is we start at 100 million. Then you just say no then. Because yeah, that, because I think people just, like I said, rightly or wrongly, the idea and the impression is that it's harder to sign players in January. And everyone seems to have that impression. Everyone always talks, it's a difficult market, it's hard to do this, this and the other. Like, players and agents and everyone seems to agree. So at some point, even if there's no reason for it, just the fact that everyone's going along with it kind of makes it, brings it into existence, doesn't it? That it is harder to sign players and stuff just tends not to happen.
Well, we've got 9 matches this month or something like that.
Yeah.
If you're a player that's trying to get out in January, when are you finding the time to do that? Because this is carnage in terms of the fixture list. On that point, I can agree to a certain extent, but I'm not going to agree entirely because I think with proper planning, you can get anything over the line. Now, yeah, you might go to Villa and they might say no to Grealish, and you might go to Leicester and they might say no to Madison, but you might go somewhere. You might go to Wolves, right? Yeah. And Wolves might have some sort of financial need. They might have gone, we actually really desperately need a striker. What are we going to do for a striker?
Yeah.
And then Old United ring up and say, how much for Neves? And you go, oh, there's the money for a striker. And we're pretty stacked in midfield. Okay, we'll talk to United. And I think that's where it comes about. Nobody wants to sell in summer. As we were just saying, nobody wants to sell their best assets in summer.
No one ever wants to sell their best players.
No.
Generally.
No. So there's always a time when people are going to listen to you.
Yeah.
Now, you might say, all right, it's less convenient to do that in January.
Yeah.
But it happens.
Yeah, it does happen.
So if you just sit there going, ah, it's too hard to do in January.
No, it's never going to happen.
And you don't fucking make any steps to make anything happen. If you ring up and look, if you throw enough balls at enough coconuts, you win a fish.
Mm. But I think you have to remember that not just anyone will do. I suppose that's kind of the way we're going with things now. In theory, isn't it that we don't want to sign 6 players and 3 of them work. Two of them work. We want to sign 3 players and 3 of them work, which I know is putting a lot of eggs in the basket of people making the right decisions consistently.
It's unlikely.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
It's like 50-50 on transfers, what's going to happen? And
yeah,
at the minute, 3 look like they've been a success for us. But I remember halfway through Jose's reign saying, actually, we're due a dud. Because Zlatan at the time looked like he was working. Mkhitaryan looked like he was working. Yeah. Bale looked like he was working. Lindelof looked like he was working. We're like, we're on fucking 4 out of 4 here.
Yeah.
We're due a dud. And then a couple of them just went, brr.
And Zlatan got injured and Lindelof's the only one that actually did work. I suppose, and also it's still the same people buying those players that were buying them during Van Gaal's time. I know it's under different kind of guidance from Solskjaer, but it's still the competence and the ability to get things over the line that got so many players wrong with Van Gaal, slightly less, but still quite a lot of players wrong with Mourinho. Now, what are the chances it's going to go from that bunch of ins to 100% successful one under Solskjaer?
And you're not going to get 100% success.
And also, let's not forget that this team is so far behind and there's still so much pressure on every result he ever has. If we get three players in the summer, let's ignore January for now. If we get three players in the summer and two of them don't work, he's fucked. Because then he's had three transfer markets, 2 years, in theory, to put his team together. If they get the second or third choice players in two of those three positions, he's going to get sacked. And it might not even be his fault. Mm. But we really are putting our eggs in a very small number of baskets.
That's why I don't understand why we feel like we have to go in. Like, we spent 130 million on Maguire and on Wan-Bissaka. Now, you can make a case that Maguire hasn't quite been the success we hoped, but he's not been terrible.
No,
Wan-Bissaka's been very good, but not perfect, because we would like a little bit more going forward from him. Now, are you telling me with £130 million, you couldn't have gone and found... Like, we signed Dan James for 15.
Yeah.
Now, is he an anomaly? Is there free transfers out there that may have fit the bill? Mm. Is there free... I mean, there's some good free transfers coming up, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, are you telling me that we can't make it... Look, all of us have played fantasy football where you've got to manage a little bit of a budget and get an entire fucking team, right? Yeah. It can be done, right? So you can't tell me that you...
That's proof that it can be done.
Yeah. What more proof do you need?
But if we get three players that we think these are first-team players and another two each time that's come to 50 million between them, like two or three for 50 million on top of that, then you think you've got a better chance here. But like you said, we basically bought two first-team players and Dan James, and either got very lucky or we brilliantly scouted James that he happened to be a first-choice player. But it's very difficult to repeat that year in, year out, isn't it?
Yeah, and to be honest, like, I think we're maybe a dozen players away.
Yeah.
I don't think we're like...
Squad-wise,
we're not a Cantona away. I mean, I think we need a Cantona, but I think we also need a fucking Robbo and a Keno and a
with two
Ronaldo.
A striker, a right-winger, a backup right-back, a backup left-back, away from being comfortably top four, and then we'll see after that.
Yeah, we are a long way away from it. I mean, Liverpool turned their form around pretty quickly with a couple of very key signings.
Yeah.
And I think they're probably looking for another right winger at the moment, because I feel like Salah's peaked. I think he peaked quick and has fell off significantly. And I think if they, let's say they went and bought Sancho.
Yeah.
And they dovetailed him in for a good year or so with Salah. I think that they'd be a fucking nightmare if they've replaced him. Mm. We're not signing Cavani, Ronan. Relax.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Piers Morgan is a cunt. I fucking agree. What's the position we need most?
Midfield.
I'd say just a pure number eight. Not a defensive midfield, not an attacking midfielder. A fucking box-to-box, all action.
Fernando Herrera-type player.
Milinkovic-Savic.
Pogba.
Pogba would be good.
Where's he playing Pogba in this team? I saw him in... I don't know.
Look how many goals Bruce scored in 1 year. I think it was 19. It was 18 or 19.
Yeah.
But there was a significant number of penalties. He did get his head on balls, but there was also a hell of a lot of penalties in there.
It must be weird being the striker in a team where your centre-back takes penalties. You're like, oh, fucking hell. How is that not me? I shoot 1,000 times more than he does, and he's better at penalties.
I'm supposed to be in this team because I'm the shooter guy.
Because I'm really good at kicking it in the net. And when I've got a chance from 12 yards, I can't do it.
Ethan Hamilton has joined Bolton on loan. That must have just happened. So we were saying, weren't we, that it was clearly that he wasn't fancied by Sol Campbell where he was, so wasn't Campbell playing him. What do I think is the current value of all the assets within our academy? Loads of dough.
I mean, 60 million in Greenwood.
Yeah. He's not going for less than that, is he? You could make a case he goes for more than that, but like, he's not going for less than that.
Yeah, sell him for any less than that, definitely not.
Random Vid Reese says Salah did peak, but he's still performing to a decent level with a good amount of goal contributions. Yeah, I think you're right.
And,
I'm just saying that the point I was making is that I think they're replacing him before the wheels have completely come off him.
Yeah,
you know, that's what I'm not seeing with us doing. I mean, we're trying to go shopping for actual midfield.
Yeah,
and it won't be a case of we're dovetailing. You'd be like, get your boots on, mate. We're fucking playing. Like, I've not even done this thing with a get on.
Like, imagine if Liverpool had bought Dan James. He would be playing as an understudy to Salah, coming through, taking his time. We buy him, he's one of our best players. Not that there's anything wrong with Dan James, but we're not really progressing and sort of transitioning a squad in the way you would hope.
Oliver Price, does Rooney start in this team? 2020 Rooney?
No.
I mean, 5 years ago, Rooney definitely.
Left United would probably start in this team, but I don't think.
No,
Rooney
I mean,
would start
did you watch the Derby game the other day?
Yeah, he's good on the ball, but
he did a lot of standing around, didn't he?
Yeah.
He definitely was a mile off
again,
the pace.
There aren't many people in the United squad, if any, that could put that free kick in that he got the assist for. That was a brilliant free kick.
Even the ball over the top for him that he put in.
Yeah.
Like, there is nobody with that ability.
No.
But
if
yeah.
you could just have a kicker like you do in American football.
Energy-wise. No, I don't think energy-wise he was there.
Yeah, and you look at Liverpool as well. It's a good thing, and I'm sure they've done things to keep him fit. But you look at the injuries that they've had, it's almost a zero.
Yeah,
like Milner's a bit injured now, and what's he called? Lovren's been injured, and Gomez, but all sort of second string players in their positions. They've been quite lucky with that in terms of how few players they've had to bring in to bridge that gap up to the best team.
Righty. Cheers, Joe. Yeah. I'll give them a quick plug on your fucking
later
carnage
on tonight.
Later.
We're going to have a bit of a fun show. I don't know if you've seen it before. It's called Late Night Live, where we talk football, but we have a bit of a laugh. I say a bit of a laugh. It's only me by myself in the studio, so I can do whatever I want. And Stephen usually watches in the comments sort of with his hands over his eyes. But it's usually quite fun, isn't it? Sometimes, anyway. Maybe you don't agree, but I think it's quite fun. So, come and join that. That'll be at 11 o'clock tonight, live, obviously, on Stretford Paddock. I've got a bit of a new set tonight as well. A bit of a change of pace. Because Stephen doesn't want this set being defaced by such strange content. He says he wants to make the show seem unique. I see through the lies. He just wants me out. And you know what? It might happen.
Right, thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe. Hit that notification bell so you don't miss any of the absolute fucking mayhem that's coming your way at 11 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
See you in a bit.